Lord Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
How are you? Welcome. Where are you all from?
From Russia.
Russia. Good. I got some Linux and even speak Russian. But we speak English. I let you sit down during the homily. I tell you why. That way they don't complain that I talk too long. Okay? If I say stand up, then what'll happen? They all keep checking their watches. Okay? How long have you been here in America?
Three days.
How many?
3 days.
Oh, good. Are you going to go to school here or what?
No. Work and travel.
Work and?
Travel.
Oh, good. Good. Well, you came to the right place, to Florida. Okay?
That's right.
That's the best part. Are you going to Orlando after? Disney World.
We are going to work here for 3 months in Busch Gardens.
Where?
Busch Gardens.
Busch Gardens? Oh, good. You're in the right place then. Okay? Busch Gardens is very nice. Have you seen it yet?
Yes.
What are you going to do there?
Merch department. And we are going to work in the merch department.
Okay, good. Good. Well, you'll enjoy your stay in America. Okay, we're glad to have you here. Okay, we have lunch after, so be sure to come over, okay?
Okay.
We feed you, no charge. Okay? That's another way I keep them here. All right, good. We're glad to have you here. We had some of them starting to go up north, I guess, or go to where it's cooler. Janet and Michael, I guess they're taking the girls with them this year again. So our attendance will be somewhat down, okay, as people go and come. We will have lunch and then we'll have the kneeling of the Vespers with the kneeling prayers. But I wanted to speak about the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I don't think we give enough attention to the Holy Spirit. From the very beginning in Christ's ministry on earth, his presence among us, we find the Holy Spirit. In Matthew's Gospel, it's written, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit." Later, when Joseph is uncertain about all these matters, an angel appears to him in a dream and says to him, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." It was by the power of the Holy Spirit that Mary conceived Jesus in her womb. Jesus, being fully God, but also fully man, was influenced by the Holy Spirit. We read in Matthew's Gospel again, just a few chapters later in the fourth chapter, end of the third, beginning of the fourth. "When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him." And of course, the next verse is, "And the voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." The next verse says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." So the Spirit led Jesus, true God and true man, into the desert so that he might be tempted by the Spirit, so that we could have a Savior and Redeemer who knew what it was to be tempted, though he did not succumb as we. Jesus instructed his disciples to ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit. In Luke's Gospel, it's written, Jesus speaking, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Have we asked for the Holy Spirit in prayer? Because that's what we need to be asking for. Instead of a lot of the things that we ask for that really are of no value to our salvation or to our lives here on earth, we need to be asking for the Holy Spirit. And he will send it to us. The power of the Holy Spirit is what, for example, elevates the deacon to the priest to the bishop, the layman to the deacon. Grace, the power of God, as given in the Holy Spirit, grace satisfying that which is lacking, the worthy deacon so-and-so is raised to the office of priest. Those are the words of ordination. The grace that comes from the Holy Spirit at chrismation. Congratulations, it's 1 year, right? Last year on Pentecost, we welcomed Julie into the church by chrismation. She had already been baptized, but she hadn't yet been baptized in the Spirit. Paul had that, right? I forgot where he was going now. He met these folks and they had been baptized. And he said, well, have you received the Holy Spirit? They said, we don't even know who the Holy Spirit is. And he said, so by the laying on of hands, he confirmed them in the faith. The early church, it was either by the anointing with oils or by the laying on of hands. The power of the Holy Spirit. Upon appearing to the disciples, Jesus bestowed the Holy Spirit upon them in the institution of both holy orders and confession, John's Gospel. And he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. The power of the Holy Spirit. And with that power of the Holy Spirit, they were to forgive or retain sins. Often people don't want to confess. Unfortunately, in some Orthodox churches, they haven't been properly instructed in confession. And so what happens? They say, well, I can go to God and I can have my sins forgiven. Why do you think Jesus did this? This is the way he instituted that the power of the Holy Spirit given unto the priest would allow him to forgive or to retain sins. Not because of anything the priest did, but because of the salvation purchased by the blood of Christ. Jesus instructed Nicodemus that being baptized with the Spirit, that is chrismation, was necessary for salvation. He said, most assuredly, speaking to Nicodemus in the John's Gospel, third chapter, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So chrismation is that important mystery given to us by God, to which the Orthodox Church has never separated them. In the Western Church, in the Church of Rome, they separated them. And they baptize, but they don't chrismate at the same time. And so you have them wandering around, just like those people that Paul encountered. Having been baptized with water, but not having been chrismated, not having been baptized with the Holy Spirit. And because of a lack of understanding of the holy mystery of chrismation, they use it like a Christian bar mitzvah. They wait till they're 15, 14, 12, all kinds of ages. The Protestants don't even have chrismation. They baptize with water, but not with the Spirit. How can they baptize with the Spirit? They don't have a priesthood. They don't have bishops to consecrate chrism, and the priests to call down the Holy Spirit through the use of the chrism. We do, and for that we have to be greatly humble and use that power of the Holy Spirit given to us. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we receive the fruits of the Holy Spirit about which Paul wrote to the Galatians in his fifth chapter. He says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, if we've received the Holy Spirit and we've received the fruits of the Holy Spirit, what is it then that when we lose self-control and we yell and scream and jump up and down? It's because we are not synergistic with the grace of the Holy Spirit. We are fighting against that grace. The fruit is love. That's where it starts. Very first one is love. To love each other and to love all of those in the world. Why next week at the parish council meeting, we will talk more about our love for each other and our love for the world so that we can go into the world and to serve Christ by serving man and also by bringing the gospel to the world. Joy. It should be a happy thing. Nothing like unhappy Christians. I mean, that is an oxymoron. Unhappy Christians. And nothing like being unhappy Christians at liturgy. At liturgy, this should be the most joyful part of the week. To come together and to give glory to God. And that joy should last all week. Peace. We'll be at peace, particularly in our relationship with God. Long-suffering doesn't promise to be easy. Long-suffering. Kindness, charity, giving to each other and to the world. Goodness, that all-around goodness, you know, of living life as Jesus lived it, trying to live it as he did. Faithfulness, without wavering. Gentleness and self-control. So we celebrate today those two wonderful occurrences. The descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and the founding of the church. Today is the birthday of the church. The church was founded today. He told his disciples, go into Jerusalem and wait until you receive the Spirit. And then he founded his church so that we wouldn't be off orphans. He says in another place, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. And he comes to us through the church, through the Eucharist, and through the power and the graces received through the church. Let's continue then our liturgy in joyfulness and in thanksgiving for the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.